Heidi, we have a system of checks and balances that are placed in the Constitution. The president can veto legislation. Legislation can be overridden. President can appoint justices. That has to be confirmed by Congress. We've had this for 200 plus years. Are we doing all right with our separation of powers and checks and balances?
It's a work in progress. I will say there are respects in which the system is not working as well as one would hope, and probably not as the founders had envisioned. There are times, though, where it really seems to come through in the clinch. So, for example, one way in which I think it is not working ideally and really not in the way, for example, the founders envisioned, is that too often we have what I heard a couple of law professors call separation of parties rather than separation of powers. And what these two professors argued is that too often whether or not Congress does oversight and the quality of the oversight depends much less on whether there's something important to investigate than on whether there's unification, that is, whether you have the same party in the president and in Congress. So I think too often you see investigations that seem really pointless but are designed to score political points, or alternatively, an absence of hard-hitting investigations that we need in what seems like an act of a party kind of closing ranks. So there are respects in which it doesn't work. On the other hand, I will say, even in a period that we have that we've had for a couple of years now of unified congressional and presidential control, you have seen the occasional congressional investigation that's made some difference. So, for example, just this morning, since in the current news cycle, there's news every 5 seconds now, just this morning, I saw that Michael Cohen, the president's former lawyer, is pleading guilty to lying to Congress. Well, that couldn't have happened if he hadn't testified before Congress and hadn't been asked some hard-hitting questions. So there are times where the system really does come through, but there are ways in which it's certainly, you know, not working optimally.
We're visiting with Heidi Kotroser, who is speaking tonight at the Klein Symposium. You have explored the checks and balances within the executive branch of government, within the presidential administration. I'd never even thought of that concept before. I thought that Congress provides a check and the courts provide a check as well. How can one branch of government have its own check?
Yeah. Well, so think about the civil service. A lot of people are familiar with that term. These are people within the federal government, within the federal bureaucracy, who are not political hires. They're merit hires. They have to take exams or be hired otherwise on the basis of their subject matter expertise. So, for example, the government employs a whole lot of scientists who are hired not because they're politically loyal to someone, but because of their expertise in their area of science. And insofar as those people have some protection from political control, what that enables them to do is to find information using their subject matter expertise, information that, if all goes well, makes its way out to the public or possibly to Congress. And then while that information alone can't force the president or Congress to do anything, it does provide facts that can inform the American people if they're paying attention and against which they may judge the actions of political actors. So, for example, just last week, a climate assessment came out. That was the product of major national climate assessment with some urgent warnings about the effects of climate change. That was the product of 13 federal agencies. It's in very sharp contrast to the statements of President Trump and the White House. President Trump said flatly, "I don't believe it." But the information's out there. And, you know, one other thing on that, it's interesting that in a sense these are internal checks because they come from within the executive branch, but they are somewhat dependent on external checking as well, because that report was mandated by an act of Congress in 1990. So it was Congress coming in and saying, hey, scientific agencies, we're mandating that you do this.
And on the flip side, you know, the president said, "I don't believe the report." Some have characterized it as the Trump doesn't believe the work of his own administration. And while he's overseeing it, I'm imagining most of the people that worked on that have been employed through multiple presidencies, and they're not tied to a president.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Now, it's interesting because one of the White House spokespeople speaking, I believe, last Friday about this did try to tie it to the Obama administration. The spokeswoman said something to the effect of, well, this began under President Obama, and she was somewhat dismissive of the quality of the report and said that when we issue our report, because Congressional Act mandates there be a report issued every 4 years. So she said, when we issue our report, I think you'll see something much better. But yes, you're absolutely right. The value of this kind of report is that it's actually not tied to a particular political party or a particular politician. It really comes from the rank and file, from government scientists who are hired based on merit. And also in this case, although it's a product of the federal government and 13 federal agencies shepherded this through. There was also a lot of collaboration with non-government scientists, including academic scientists in universities around the U.S.
Heidi Kotroser is our guest. She's a professor of constitutional law from the University of Minnesota. She is the Klein Symposium keynote speaker tonight, 7:30 at the Alice Campbell Ballroom. Of course, there's a special counsel that is investigating the president's campaign and the president himself. There's always kind of debate about what authority the president has over that. How have you thought about this as you've seen this play out?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the special counsel is a product of regulatory authority. And so right now he's essentially hanging on pursuant to regulations that govern the executive branch itself. But there is not legislation making him an independent counsel like we had during the Clinton administration. And there's actually been quite a lot of talk lately, including by Jeff Flake, but predominantly by Democrats, about passing legislation to protect Mueller, essentially, so that he can't be fired without good cause by the president or the attorney general. And some have argued some supporting the president have argued, no, you can't constitutionally do that. You can't have someone exercising executive authority who the president can't fire. In my view, that level of independence, a good cause requirement, for example, is absolutely constitutional. And in fact, there's a Supreme Court case directly on point from the late 1980s called Morrison v. Olson, where the Supreme Court, with only one dissent, did uphold the constitutionality of an independent counsel law.
Is it a sufficient check on the president? Not this president per se, but any president?
I don't think there's any one silver bullet. I don't think there is any one thing that's a sufficient check on any president, particularly given the massive power of the office. I think you really need multiple checks for any president embedded throughout the government and throughout civil society and the populace. So you need a discerning Congress. You need courts that will, when the law demands it, hold the executive branch to account. You need a populace that's paying attention, and you need a robust press that is willing to ask tough questions and report tough facts.
Heidi Kotroser, best of luck. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. It's great to be here.